Let's, if you would, let's lift our hands together and take just a little bit of time here. And from our hearts, just think of words of thanksgiving that you can say to Him, words of praise, words of worship, words of gratitude. Recall things that He has done for you. Recall things that the Bible tells us about His nature and His character and His goodness. And let's just say those things. Just whatever comes to your mind, whatever comes to your mind, say it out loud. Just say, Father, I thank You that You're a Father to me, that You are the lover of my soul, that You help me, You give me grace that helps in time of need. You are my Father. You know everything. You can do anything. And You are my Savior. You look after me. You help me. I love You, Father God. Thank You. Praise God. Praise God. We worship You, Father God. Thank You for being present here. Thank You for meeting with us, coming to meet with us in a meaningful, tangible way as we come to meet with You. We thank You for Your presence. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's have a seat, everybody. Thank you, praise and worship team. Praise the Lord. All right, we're going to get into our message right away. Let's pray about that. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask that You would be the speaker today, that You would be the minister, that You would be the healer, that You would be the one communicating heaven to our hearts. Help us to be of a ready mind and open heart, receptive to what You're saying to us personally, and leaving here with more, much more than what we came with. Father God, help us in that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm excited, as I've been saying for several weeks. We're kind of jumping around three different subjects, but all working together with a larger goal in mind. The three subjects are healing in the ministry of Jesus, examples of how Jesus healed people, what happened, manifestations of the Spirit. That's another theme that we're following. And then a third theme is who we are in Christ. And we're three different themes, but they all intertwine together in a message about healing and helping us to just become more aware, more tuned in, more conscious of God and His healing anointing, how to receive that anointing, how to minister that anointing. And I believe that we're taking steps as a church. We're going higher. We're, our experience, as our faith grows, our experience will also grow. Today, we're coming back to manifestations of the Spirit and gifts of healings in particular. And there's a passage here from Acts chapter 4 that I want to read. It's in bold at the top of the first page. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to Your servants that with all boldness they may speak Your word. So this is the church, and they're praying, together, and they're asking that God would grant to them that they would speak the word of God with all boldness. Now look at verse 30. By stretching out Your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of Your holy servant Jesus. Now, the point, or one of the points that I would want to make today, is that they are praying for gifts of healings to be in manifestation. Healing can come in different ways. Healing is one of the more diverse subjects in the New Testament. There's a whole range of different ways of receiving and ministering healing. We know that we can receive healing by our own faith. The Bible talks about anointing people with oil and praying for them. The Bible talks about laying hands on people and praying for them. The Bible talks about praying a prayer of agreement together. My faith joined with yours and your faith joined with mine. That's another means. And really, the laying hands on and the anointing with oil are different variations of that. Ways of joining together our faith together in order to produce, in order for God to produce a result. And there's gifts of healings, which are manifestations. And so it's so helpful for us just to get a feel for manifestations and how they work. Praise God. And so we're talking today in particular about judging from how a certain person cringed when that happened. I'm guessing that I know where that came from exactly. Gifts of healings. And now one of the things we read about manifestations in the Bible is that we are to desire them. And one way, a really meaningful way that we express desire to God is to pray, And so this is an excellent example. The wording that they used is that God would stretch forth his hand to heal. 20 plus years later, Paul referred in his letter to the Corinthians to gifts of healings. Different terminology, I believe, just different people at different times. You know, the church had 20 years. They probably developed a lot of terminology over 20 years, names for things that they didn't have names for to begin with. In the beginning, they just said, heal. But then Paul had more specified. By the time he wrote the letter to the Corinthians, he had the names for these different manifestations, and one of the names was gifts of healings. And so the thing about manifestations is they operate differently than our regular faith. And one of the ways that they're different is that they operate on a higher level. There's often more power associated with it. It's outside the bounds. Manifestations can do things that are outside the bounds of our regular faith. In order for my faith, your faith to operate, there needs to be a promise. There needs to be a clear Bible statement. This is the will of God for you now. The Bible has to make that very plain to us. Otherwise, how can I truly, to the bottom of my heart, believe that he is doing something that I can't see or feel unless I'm previously convinced he will do it simply at my asking? So faith requires some doctrine. Faith requires Bible passages. Faith requires promises to us. The manifestations, though, they can operate outside that realm. For example, Moses didn't have any doctrine teaching him about parting seas. There wasn't a long history of Bible promises about how everybody who just believes, if you'll just believe, you can part the sea. He didn't have that. But a manifestation in the moment can occur through which something that way beyond normal Bible faith, things can happen. Even something much smaller, such as Elisha causing an iron axe head to float. There was no doctrine about that. There was no, history of Bible promises. You can make iron float if you want to. But it happened in the moment. And that's what we mean when we say manifestations are different than our regular faith. They operate on a different level. They are at times more potent, they more dramatic than what our regular faith would produce. And not only that, they operate as the Spirit wills. The thing about, now, it may sound from what we're saying that, manifestations are more potent and they're outside the limitations of where faith would operate, we would think immediately, well, that's better. Wouldn't it be better? It's stronger. It's more dramatic. There's more of an outward display to it. This is something to attract, that's more miraculous. This would attract people's attention more. And all those things are true, and that's why we need manifestations. on the other hand, things that are Bible faith, we can have them, they can live in our heart, and we can operate them 24 hours a day. And because of that, in the long run, they have a far greater impact on our life and our relationship with God. It's by our simple faith that the Holy Spirit dwells in me and is active in me and is talking to me and is reminding me of the things that I need to be thinking and not thinking, things I need to be saying and not saying, things I need to be doing and not doing. And this is the fabric from which our life is woven. It's not a case of one being better than the other. It's just, well, let's have it all. We need it all. And so we're talking about manifestations in particular. And so they operate on a different level, and they operate as the Spirit wills. In other words, as dramatic, as miraculous, as fantastic as it was that Moses could part the Red Sea and the people could walk through, he couldn't do it the next day. Even if there was a need, there's no promise that that is going to happen. We could just go through example after example. So what this is about then, if this was just regular healing, Acts 4 verses 29 to 30, then it wouldn't be a matter of them exactly needing to ask God to pray. It would be a case of simply developing or asking God to heal. But we could just develop our faith and then deal with issues as they arose. Now, in this case, though, they're asking for something that is outside the bounds of human initiative, outside the bound, that God would just in a miraculous way affect healings that are really unrelated to whether people have faith or not. And they prayed. And so we have an objective here today, and I want you to know what my goal is for the service today, and perhaps if you can join in with me. And what I'm going to ask, and this might involve you changing. Now, isn't that an amazing thing? I've got a lot of nerve, don't I, to actually ask you to change, if that's necessary. But it's a small change, and perhaps the Holy Spirit will provoke in you a desire to cooperate with this change. And here's what I'm suggesting is that we as a church, as a matter of daily practice, or when you think of it, regular practice, that we would pray this prayer. So it's a simple prayer. It's a short prayer. So I would be pleased if you paid attention to the words. Not that if you pray it, you have to, you know, get the exact words right, but that you would get it and get the flow of it and the essence of it. And perhaps you would join with me in us as a church. By as a church, I don't mean all together, because during the week we're not generally all together. But wherever you happen to be, driving your vehicle, in your home, maybe waking up in the morning, you haven't got up yet, you're working toward that. Whatever's going on, this prayer may come to your mind, and I'm asking that you would pray it with me. And so it goes again like this. Father, that we pray that you would grant to your servants, that would be all of us, that with all boldness we would speak your word by... And different translations say by or while or as. The two thoughts are definitely connected. There's something about dramatic healings happening that, in their mind, assist them in boldly speaking the word to other people. So he's saying, grant unto us that we would speak your word with all boldness, by stretching forth your hand to heal. So in particular, what we're asking for are the manifestation of gifts of healings. We are asking for God to appear dramatically in a realm that's above our faith or the faith of the recipient in ways where he just produces healings in people that don't even have any faith. And that it is there's a jolt to it in a good way. There's something that grabs people's attention. And not only that, but it's extremely beneficial as well. And so this is the point of the prayer, that you would stretch forth your hand to heal and that signs and wonders would be done in the name of your holy child, Jesus. So let's continue with our thought today about gifts of healings. We're on the second page now and about halfway down. And I want to go again, it helps us to understand how gifts, healing operates as a manifestation when we look at other manifestations. We've looked at a couple in the past. We've, just in a few weeks ago, we were looking at the word of knowledge. Elisha knew what the Syrian king was saying in his bedroom, and it helped. And he would warn the king of Israel, and it gave them military advantage. That was a case of the word of knowledge. We saw examples of working of miracles. I've mentioned two already, Moses parting the Red Sea, Elisha making the axe head float. So these are examples of manifestations. So I want to look at a different manifestation, the word of wisdom, which is very similar to a word of knowledge, but there is a distinction. We have some definition right here under point C on the second page. The word of wisdom is a supernatural revelation by the Spirit of God concerning the divine purpose and plan in the mind and will of God. It's us knowing something by the Spirit of God that we would otherwise never have any way of knowing. Something that in the moment is revealed to us. It's something what God is thinking, and we know what he's thinking in that moment. And again, it involves earthly realities that otherwise we would have no way of knowing. Now, there's a distinction. That sounds a lot like the word of knowledge. The next bullet point, the difference between the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom is that the revelation of the word of knowledge, or the revelation the word of knowledge brings, is always present tense or concerning something that has happened in the past. So if whatever it is that God is revealing is currently happening or has happened in the past, then that would be a word of knowledge. The difference with the word of wisdom is that it concerns something that is going to happen. All right. And we could discuss that in a little more detail, why one would be called the word of knowledge, why the other would be called the word of wisdom, and perhaps we'll get to that. Now, these manifestations can occur in various ways. It could be an audible voice of the Holy Spirit, which for any of us is not a regular thing. When we talk about hearing God speak to us, 99 times out of 100 or more, we're not talking about an audible voice where we turn around and look who's in the room, but we are speaking of the Holy Spirit bearing witness with our spirit. That's usually what we mean when we talk about, and often our terminology, it would be good if we said things like, I'm impressed, or I believe, or my sense is that the Spirit is saying. In other words, we're not speaking in hard and fast, concrete terms, because that's what it was. It was an intuition. It was a sense. And we can develop it to where it becomes more and more real to us and more reliable as a guide, as an indicator. There might be occasions in which we, as Christians, we dress things up a little bit than what they are, more than what they are, or make a bigger deal of something. And it might be tempting to say, if I sense God said something to you, I might be tempted to say, God said. And that just seems to give me a little more authority. You know, I can maybe make somebody believe me if I state it in a stronger way. I don't think that gains us anything if we embellish things. But if it was an audible voice, which again, we're not even seeking audible voices, but if it is, that would be something a lot more dramatic. So that could be how a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge is communicated. It could be through a dream. It could be through a vision. It could be, these are biblical examples. It could be a message from an angel. It could be by tongues and interpretation that a word of knowledge or word of wisdom comes. It could be by a prophecy. excuse me. A cup of coffee. Anybody here drink coffee? Okay, we have a few. Anybody here, do you ever take anything in your coffee? Yep, we have some of that. Okay. Anybody here drink your coffee black? Okay, we have that too. Okay, so we have some that have their coffee black, some that might have some sugar in it or some cream or some milk in it. So either way, is it always called a cup of coffee? Sure. So I could have black coffee, and what do you call it? You could have some cream in your coffee, and what do you call it? Better coffee. That's, what about, how about sugar? Is that better? Yeah, okay. All right. So you guys are helping me. I know you are. You mean well. any way you slice it, we still call it a cup of coffee, although sometimes it has other things in it. So for example, prophecy. You could have a prophecy like a cup of coffee, and sometimes that prophecy could come with something extra in it. It would still be a prophecy. It's just it has more in it. And for example, what could be in it could be a word of knowledge, or it could be a word of wisdom. When we think of prophecy in the New Testament sense, it's defined as something that it's for edification, that's building up, edification, exhortation, or comfort. So it's a manifestation also. It's by the Holy Spirit. It's as the Spirit wills. And it has a threefold purpose, edification, exhortation, or comfort. So there is no predictive, in New Testament prophecy, there is no predictive element. It's not telling the future. Although often, even in the church, we often think of prophecy, and most often we're thinking of Old Testament prophecy, or perhaps the book of Revelation, which these things are telling. We call that prophecy, don't we? if we want to be real technical, is it okay? Once in a while, the old engineer comes out in me, and I just want to be technical for a moment. Would that be, everybody would bear with me for a moment? It won't be long. So technically, prophecy does not have any predictive element to it. But if we were looking at a prophecy that is telling the future, if we were to be, again, technical, that would be a prophecy that happens to have a word of wisdom mixed in it. So anytime we see Old Testament prophets predicting the coming of Christ, that would be a prophecy with a word of wisdom. It's telling the future. It's God's plan and purpose. We see in the book of Revelation that there's a lot of telling the future. And so that would also be a word of wisdom. Coming through a prophecy. All right, and so we're looking at word of wisdom in particular right now. Now, we do not have a certain young man with us today who I thought might be here, and so he would have done a better job than me, but I'll just do the best I can, and then we'll get the real thing later. So this may not be, I may not use the exact correct words because I don't know what the exact correct words are. But this will give the general idea. So Brandon was at work here, not last week, but the week before, and he was at work. And while he was there, something happened. And this is the part that he would do a better job of explaining exactly what it was. And again, we'll get him to do this. But it was like something arrested him for a moment. And he had a picture, and it wasn't just a thought crossing his mind. It was something more vivid than that. It was where he, and again, I wish I could just say it with total technical precision, because you know I'm like that. But he saw something, or he sensed, it kind of engaged his senses more fully than just a thought crossing your mind. And what he sensed or saw was something big and heavy crashing down. Now, they do have things like that where he works. There is some machinery that holds up a hot tub, I believe, being art expos. And then somebody needs to get underneath and drill some holes. And I don't have this clear picture of it, because if it was just the shell, I'm not sure it would weigh 1,500 pounds, just the shell of the tub. But whatever it was, the assembly or whatever all was involved with it, it weighed about 1,500 pounds. So it's a heavy thing. But I'm not sure how clearly he saw that, but he saw something being lifted, and then it crashed down. And it was obviously a bad thing. And he saw this. It's like he lived it for a moment. And then he came back to his more normal senses. And then he wondered what that was about. And then he wasn't sure what to do with it, so he prayed. And he said, Father, he had some sense that that would be bad, that would be trouble, somebody could get hurt. And he just prayed that God would protect everybody. He didn't know what else to do. And he prayed that God would protect everybody, the workers that were there that day. And then he just went on with his work. About an hour later, there was a large or a loud crash from a different part of the factory where he works here in town, I'm not sure if he left and went over there to see what happened, or I'm sure everybody knew something had happened. But what had happened was a coworker was supposed to get under this. It was being lifted by this equipment. Randy would do a bit. Do you want to come up and can you help me, Randy? I don't know. We didn't plan on this, but you have a better picture. Can you add to what I'm saying or clarify what I'm saying? Or am I doing a good job? Or what would you say? All right, come on. All right, this is fun. This is how you do it. Just drop it on them by surprise. Which does it matter which microphone we? Okay, please do a better job than me. Thank you.
So pretty much we have to lift up the tub so we can put it over a table so that we can drill all the holes underneath it. But when we pick it up, there's two boards underneath it we have to grab out so we can actually move it over, because there's a cart that we have it under has supports on it that we can't move with it there. But the one guy was just about to go under, and then he even said that it kind of felt spiritual. And he backed off, and then all of a sudden the tub just dropped onto the cart.
Uh-huh.
Did he come to church today?
Yeah. All right. That tells the story? Thank you. Let's give Randy a hand. Thank you very much, Randy. Standing up with a microphone and speaking to everybody, that's not everybody's thing. And Randy did a wonderful job. Thank you, Randy. There it was. Here's this person who was about to get underneath. Their hand was even down, you know, ready to help position their body underneath, and they were that close to getting underneath. And then for some, as Randy just said, the person said, spiritual reason, they sensed to not do it, and it was just in the next moment that it came crashing down. And so that would be an example of a word of wisdom, where Brandon had a premonition, a distinct sense of something that was going to happen in the future that, according to all his natural knowledge, he would have had no way of knowing. So that was God revealing to him. Now, it was a manifestation combined with, in the next moment, Brandon's faith. Because when he prayed for everybody to be protected, that wasn't a manifestation. That was just Brandon using his faith and knowing what he knew to do and saying a short prayer. So we see a manifestation then working in connection with a person's faith. And the effect of it was to save. We don't know what would have happened to the person had they got underneath. They very easily could have been badly hurt. So that's the nature of a manifestation. Now, can Brandon do that again tomorrow if he wants? Just have another manifestation? No, it's as the Spirit wills. And so this is why we need to pray for these things, because there's nothing we can do to just make them happen other than to ask God that they would happen more frequently. And apparently that matters to God. You might think, well, God can do whatever he wants. But really, he's designed everything so that we are working in relationship with him. He's wanting more. He's wanting a relationship with us. He wants it to be interactive. He wants it to be cooperative. He wants not for him just to, if he could just do whatever he wanted by himself, he wouldn't need us. But he's decided he wants a family. He wants people that love him and that he can love them. And so he's looking for something cooperative. And so we play a role in the sense, the same way the people here in the book of Acts in chapter 4 play a role, in that they were asking for manifestations of the Spirit to happen. And so this is what we want as a church. I am recruiting you today, in case there's any doubt what we're about here today, is I'm not trying to simply increase your Bible knowledge by referring to Bible stories. I am endeavoring to engage your heart with the help of the Holy Spirit, that together as a church, that we would collectively desire more manifestations and express that desire through prayer. Now, there's a couple of examples of word of wisdom. There's many examples, but I got two here to share from the Bible. This will help clarify what a word of wisdom is. Let's look at the top of page 3 of our outline. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus. Now, here's a significant point. A certain disciple. This is not one of the original 12 apostles, you know, John and Peter and James and Andrew and the others. This is not even someone who was a pastor or a prophet or an apostle or someone with, this was a disciple. This would be a regular churchgoer in Damascus. Ananias was his name. Different Ananias than Ananias and Sapphira. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision. So we said word of knowledge, word of wisdom, they can come different ways. Vision is one of the ways. That might have been, and I don't know, and it would be interesting, I have spoken to Brandon, I'd like to hear him tell the story again. That might have been what he had, just a little vision there where he saw the whole thing come crashing down. But Ananias had a vision, and the Lord said to him, Ananias, and he said, here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in a vision, here's another vision now, Saul has also had a vision. He has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Paul, of course, had lost his sight on the road to Damascus when he had that encounter with Jesus in the bright light. Now notice that what Ananias was informed of here. He was informed of a person named Saul in a particular house, and the house was named, on a particular street, and the street was named. So would he have had any natural knowledge of a person with that particular name in that particular house on that particular street? No. Now, and I hesitate to do this because I never, and I really underline the word never and put it in count, I never want to embarrass anybody by asking a question where the answer isn't obvious. And then somebody with just absolute good-heartedness blurts out an answer, and then I get to say publicly, no! So that's never what we're interested in. But would anybody hazard a guess what has been communicated to, might be a lot more than just hazarding a guess, but what has been communicated to Ananias here, would it be more a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom? Knowledge. Is that what you said? Yep. We'll seize upon that. Because he's talking, he's giving him facts in the mind of God. This is completely supernatural. It's a manifestation of the Spirit. Ananias has no way of drumming this information up. And it's concerning things that are in the present or past tense. And so the fact that Paul is there now and he is praying now, that was another aspect of the word of knowledge, is that how would Ananias know that Saul was praying now? So these were all facts communicated, and they were in the present tense. So that would make it a word of knowledge. So what happens is he receives a word of knowledge concerning these things. Now, what Saul has seen, though, is a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Okay, we're just having some fun here. Would that be more a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom? It hasn't happened yet, has it? So it would be future. So very similar. Here's Ananias getting a word of knowledge, and here's Saul getting a word of wisdom. And they're just being, we wouldn't necessarily recognize these things if we didn't have a little bit of training in them. We might just be reading and ta-da-ta-da, not even think of it. But the list that Paul gives us in 1 Corinthians 12 contains the names for these things that we're reading about right here. Then Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on your name." So Ananias had received a word of knowledge, and he wasn't thrilled. It could be exciting. It was not for Ananias, because he not really like what he was told to do in the word of knowledge, because he's saying, this is a very, very dangerous person. You are putting me in the line of fire, God. And the Lord said to him in verse 15, "Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my namesake." So was that a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom? Would Ananias have any knowledge of what God had called Saul to do? No. And he's talking about what's going to happen in the future. This is God's plan and purpose for the entire life and ministry of Saul, who came to be known as Paul. Mm-hmm. So here's a word of wisdom concerning the mind, the plan, the purpose of God. And so Ananias then went and acted on that. So that's one example. Let's look at another example. And this one is a little more similar to what happened with Brandon. 2 Kings 20, verses 1 to 6. "In those days Hezekiah was sick and near death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, went to him and said to him, 'Thus says the Lord,'" so this would be more of a word of wisdom coming through a prophecy, different from coming through a vision. They come different ways. "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live." Once again, here's a word from God that was not received happily. He would have preferred, "You do not need to set your house in order because you're going to live and not die." It was the other way around. But it was it wasn't natural knowledge that Isaiah was communicating. It was God stating what was going to happen in the future. And it wasn't good. In the same way that Brandon saw something that was going to happen in the future, and it wasn't good. And in the case of Brandon, he needed to then use his simple faith to respond to the word of wisdom that he had received. And so what happened with Hezekiah in verse 2, he turned his face toward the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, "Remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart and have done what was good in your sight." And he wept bitterly. And it happened before Isaiah had gone out into the middle court. So Isaiah was just on his way out, but hadn't even got fully out yet into the street. That the word of the Lord came to him saying, "Return and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Surely I will heal you." So now that would also be another word from God. On the third day, you shall go. This is the message to Hezekiah. On the third day, you shall go up to the house of the Lord, and I will add to your days 15 years. And I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David. So this was a conditional word of wisdom. In other words, Hezekiah was informed what was going to happen, but it was not carved in stone. By him responding in a certain way, he could change what the word of wisdom was. And in the same way, in Brandon's example, and I'm just excited by it, by saying that simple prayer that he prayed, he was able to change what might have happened in just an hour's time. So I say this to now come back over to gifts of healings. As we see these manifestations and how they work, and we've looked at several over a couple of different Sundays, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, working of miracles, the manner in which they work, how they work as the Spirit wills, not as we will, how they are of a different order than the regular working of our faith, it gives us a real clear picture, or a clearer picture, of what a gift of healing would look like. It would be a healing that happens that is outside the bounds of our faith. And thank God for our faith. There's just tremendous value to our faith, but this is of a higher order. And it would be a healing that happens spontaneously as the Spirit wills. Now, here might be an example of that. There were some meetings at Edmonton a week ago at the Summit Church, and some of our people went. And I think this is wonderful. There was, and I've been to see this particular guest minister before, 2 years ago, Dan Moeller was there and at a conference, and I greatly enjoyed the ministry. Last year, we even advertised it a bit in our church because he was there last year as well. And so he was to be there again this year. He couldn't show up. Something happened. I don't know. They went ahead and had special meetings anyway and had some wonderful meetings. And one of the things that happened, well, Paige was healed of a hiatus hernia. And praise God. And now I don't know whether that was simply her faith receiving the healing, whether that was a manifestation of gifts of healings. I would need more details to know that. But a separate case, I just wanted to throw that in there because praise God for Paige being healed. But a separate case was there was a man watching. People, what happened was, this was starting to happen like pop, like popcorn popping. People were just getting healed. Nobody was praying for them. They were just in their seats. And then they were coming up to testify. So there was a man out there watching this, and he was thinking to himself, he said this later, as he was listening to people say, "Hey, I just got healed from this," or "I just got healed from that." He was thinking, this church is paying these people to stand up and say this. That's what he was actually thinking. And while he was thinking that, so would you call that great faith? On a scale of 1 to 10, how much faith does the man have? He's in the minus somewhere. And so as he's there thinking that, he realized he had come in with some, and I don't know the nature of it, but a problem with his neck where it was painful, and he could tell if he was hurting or not. And as he's there thinking, it occurred to him that his neck was no longer hurting, and you know, all this and everything else, and it's perfectly good. He can't believe it. See, so if he can't believe it, is that his faith? Was he healed by his own faith? No, that would be an example of a manifestation of the Spirit, where it just totally overrode the normal avenue of faith, and the man was against his own thinking even. And so he was then became one of those people who was saying, God healed me, and he wasn't paid either to do it. Now, often with manifestations, and I think the general thing is they happen through a person. For example, that when we read about Hezekiah receiving the word of wisdom from God, that came through Isaiah. The working of the miracle of the iron axe head floating, that happened through Elisha. Elisha was asked to do something, just take cut a stick off a bush and throw it in the water. It wasn't that complicated, but still, it was through a person, and that's generally the way a manifestation would work. In the case of, you know, the last example we gave where people were just getting healed, that wasn't through anybody. It was just happening. To the best of my understanding, I would still call that a manifestation of the Spirit. It fits the general description. And so, all of that to say this, here we are in the middle of the last page, but earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. And the more excellent way he's talking about is, the thing about the manifestations is they have a certain degree of flash to them. There's glitter. It's spectacular. And, you know, it would, to have manifestations would do a lot to polish our image, spiritually speaking. And there could very easily be motives involved that are a little less than pure. It is that I would love God. I could easily be praying, God, we want more manifestations because, boy, would that look good on me. And so one of the things that God is telling us, that would be a wrong motivation. In fact, the motivation that really works the best in provoking and making an avenue for these manifestations to happen is sincere love for other people. Now, that's going to take some discipline on our part to purposefully, intentionally create an environment of love around ourselves, not just for the sake of manifestations, but just as a general lifestyle, just how we think about people, how we relate to people, conscious of what ministers to other people, what doesn't minister to them, treating people like we would like to be treated. As simple as that is, and it's really simple, Jesus can say, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It's a very, very easy thing to say. Human beings can spend their entire lives not quite getting there. I just think Jesus is so amazing that way. He can just say such simple things, quick and easy things, things that are so obviously true, and then we could shake our head and go, yes, of course, that's true. Do to others what you would, you know, anything else would be hypocrisy. And then we could, and then our flesh just struggles with it. But what he's saying is that manifestations are going to find their best expression and their most pure expression in an environment of love. And that's something we can do. So there's two things we can do here to cultivate an environment for manifestations. And Paul says them in two separate verses. They're about one chapter apart. But the two things are is to pray and to pray for them. And as we're praying, to be doing what we can do to cultivate an environment of love, that we care for other people. We want them to be helped. So the two scriptures are, earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way, which in chapter 13 is the way of love. So then the following chapter, the first verse, he says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. And so there we go. Now what does desiring look like? Well, we come back to that prayer. Now, Lord, in Acts chapter 4, look at their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Signs and wonders would be other types of manifestation. So they're not just praying for gifts of healings, but the one that is most prominently mentioned in the prayer is gifts of healings. They prayed. They wanted for there to be these dramatic healings happening in their environment. Praise God. Now, I've mentioned this a few times lately. I think this is the first time I put it in the outline. Isaiah 58:6, is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness. And these are words that I'm thinking about on pretty much a daily basis, thinking about and meditating and praying about, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke, that that we together with God would break every yoke. So I would say that's a pretty good ambition, if I can use the word ambition in a good way. That's a pretty good ambition for our church, wouldn't you say? That this would be what we're about? We're about in ourselves and in other people. We would like to see the bonds of wickedness loosed. Now, this includes healing. It's not restricted to healing. There's a whole world of things that could involve these different phrases here, but to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, physical ailment could easily be a heavy burden. To let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. Praise the Lord. So, now I'm not going to ask you to come to the front, and you don't even need to raise your hand either. But just in your own heart and mind, do we have any volunteers here today? People who are willing to say, yes, let's take the next step. Not to say let's take the first step, because I think in our lives we've been taking steps for a lot of years. But let's take the next step. Let's go a step higher. Let's just do exactly what the Bible said, is pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Praise God. And in particular, and it just seems to be the focus where my heart is, it seems to be how God is leading me. And you can pray however you want. I'm just being as transparent about what's going on with me as I can be. It seems to be significant, it seems to be appropriate, and it's right in the prayer in Acts chapter 4 too, to have a focus on healing in particular. We would like to see healings. We want to see healings that come from our own faith, but boy, we would love to see some people healed that don't even have any faith. and so that's what we're about today, is that you would go home, maybe if you need to, whatever you need to do. If you want to take the copy, of course, you can always do that. I'm not telling you what to do by any stretch. I can probably tell you that if I told Pastor Penny to put something on our fridge, then it might not happen. I'm not saying if it would or not. I'm just saying it might not. It's a tiny bit like our cat. If you try. Anyway, I won't. No, I won't. So I'm not going to tell you what to do. But, you know, if you wanted, take this. You could put it on your fridge, just right there. There's the prayer right there. Or whatever works for you, or whatever you think to be good. Or maybe you're just really good. Or maybe the Holy Spirit is so strong on the inside of you, it just comes bubbling up every day, and you can't even make it go away. Whatever works for you. But this is what we're doing today. We're recruiting. This is a recruiting session here today. We're recruiting you to pray with us for more manifestations of the Spirit. And I think the more we talk about it in church and the more that we give stories and examples from the Bible, the more conscious we are of it, the more plain it becomes to us. It becomes less mystical and more obvious. We see examples, not only in the Bible, but a 17-year-old kid at work. Not just any kid, a very important kid. A 17-year-old kid at work who's probably at the moment it happened wasn't even trying to be spiritual, I'm guessing. His mother's going, probably not. So if, isn't that wonderful? I'm just so excited by it. I mean, if it can just happen like that in a 17-year-old kid who's not even trying to be spiritual at the moment, just there it is. Then it could really happen anytime, anywhere, couldn't it? And that's what we want to see. Praise God. Let's invite the children's church to come back in. Like they prayed in Acts chapter 4, Father, we pray that you would grant unto your servants here that we would speak your word with all boldness, by stretching forth your hand to heal and that signs and wonders would be done in the name of your holy child, Jesus. And Father God, we make that our prayer, a prayer of intercession, a prayer that we can repeat over and over again, a prayer for other people, a prayer for your will being done on the earth, a prayer for your name, your reputation to be hallowed, to be revered. Your kingdom, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Father God, thank you for working with us and helping us to work well with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Have a good week, everybody. Just for everybody's information, we have birthday cake with us today. Tomorrow is Pastor Penny's birthday. Tomorrow is Gary's birthday. We won't ask how old you are, Gary. 63. Say again, Cindy. Same as Pastor Penny. All right, you better not say. You better not say. All right, we got birthday cake. That's the announcement right there. That's the announcement.